be seated on our worship.
This is WCNO, listener supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go.
Listen, we're about to continue in our study on spiritual warfare. We've been in spiritual warfare now for a couple of weeks, and we have to understand that the whole thing about spiritual warfare is to understand it is an unseen realm that comes to attack us and attacks us in the area of our mind, a lot of times in our will, in our emotions, which is our soul. It comes to attack us in our physical body to try to get us to agree with it so that it can have a place in our life. And so, but God has already told us that he has made a way for us to escape. That no temptation has taken us, but such that is common unto man. But with every temptation, said God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. But with every temptation, he's made a way of escape so that we can bear it. How many know that Jesus is the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So anything that we're going through, Jesus is the way out. And so one thing that we have to understand is that where by us being in a spiritual warfare, we have to change our mindset of how we feel about war. Most of us don't want to talk about war at all. I mean, war requires killing, death, you know, territorial takeover. But, you know, Jesus told us to occupy until he comes. That word occupy is a military terminology, which means take over territory for the kingdom of God. See, you and I, we are citizens of the kingdom. And if you really think about the message that we preach, that if the world really took us serious, what are we talking about? We're talking about the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And that Jesus is coming to rule the nations with a rod of iron. He's about to put down the rule of man and get rid of this democracy, and it's going to be a theocracy. A theocracy is the government of God. And we all come underneath the rule and the leadership of Jesus Christ. But the Bible said that before he comes, there's going to be a false one, an antichrist. And this antichrist is going to hold the world in sway, and that the whole world is going to wander after him, and they're going to follow him. They're going to give their allegiance to him because he's going to have a humanistic approach, and he's going to have a humanistic message. Can you imagine the world after the rapture? What is the rapture? The rapture is the pre-evacuation of the saints of God before the tribulation hour is poured out here on the earth. Jesus said, I'm coming back for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So we have a promise that God is not going to send us through the wrath that is to come, but he's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. But what happens when the church is taken out? Darkness shall cover the land and gross darkness the people. It's going to come a time to where the light and salt has been evacuated, which is the church. The church is not a building. The church is believers. Those who have committed their life unto Christ, who has given out the message of reconciliation, who has shared the message of the return of Christ, and who have put this hope inside of people so they can say, what must I do to be saved? See, your witness is the most powerful thing that you have. This is why over in Galatians, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You want to experience the power of God? Minister the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. The good news to a dying man is that, listen, you can live. And we're all under the death sentence when we're born. We're born in sin and shaven in iniquity. We come out with a toe tag that says destination hell. See, you don't have a choice to decide when you're born where I want to go. No, you have already, a choice has already been made for you by your forefather, Adam and Eve. Because they sinned, sin passed on all mankind. And so when Jesus came as the savior of the world over in Genesis, where we see God put enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed. Now we know the woman naturally doesn't have a seed, but he's talking about the seed of the woman, which would be Jesus who would come, who was implanted in Mary. and he became our champion, who defeated hell, death, and the grave, and died on the cross in our place. And that started the warfare back in Genesis, the warfare. Because ever since that prophecy, the devil had been trying to stamp out the promised seed. He tried to do it when he wanted to kill Moses. You know, it got so bad in Genesis. If we go back a little further, we got so bad in Genesis that we got down to one man. The whole world was corrupt. The whole world was in sin. There were giants in the land. People were devouring one another. Things were going, a lot of corruption. He said, but Noah found grace in the sight of God. If it wasn't for Noah, and we ain't talking about his wife and his children, they came along for the ride because of his righteousness. He said, Noah found grace in the sight of the God, in the sight of the Lord. When he sent the flood, he wiped out everything except for Noah and his family. Then when we come on down a few more generations later, like I said, he tried to destroy Moses before Moses was born over in Egypt. And then when it got down to Jesus, remember Herod? When a wise man came and said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We have come to worship him. What did Herod do? He killed every child 2 years age and under trying to destroy the Messiah, the promised seed. There's been a warfare that's going on for a long time. And you and I have entered into that warfare for this generation. And these are being the last days that we're in. And guess what? God always saves his best for last. So you are fully equipped to carry out the work of the ministry. You are fully equipped to fight this warfare because he's equipped us with the word of God and with the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. But one thing you and I have to learn to do is we got to learn to protect the anointing of God. You must learn to protect that anointing. See, if you're a believer in Christ and you accepted Jesus Christ, the warfare comes at you. How many people you know tell me, well, you know, see, like my life was better before I gave my life to Christ. I ain't had no problems until I got saved. Oh, you had problems, all right. You had a whole lot of problems. Right. But now you're talking about, well, people don't want to hang out with me no more. Well, that's good. Because the things you used to do and the life you used to lead, now you've gone away from that. Yeah, they're going to diss you. They're going to think, well, oh, what, you too good now? I remember when I first got saved, my sister and my brother and them didn't want to have nothing to do with me no more. Because, you know, I used to smoke reefer. I used to drink beer. I used to smoke cigarettes, and God delivered me from all that stuff. Oh, you too good to hang out with us now. Huh? Oh, you know, you think you're better than us now. But after a while, when they saw consistency of a lifestyle, and wasn't bringing condemnation. I walking around like I'm holier than thou. I'm still playing dominoes with them. I'm sitting there at the card table with them. But I'm just not doing what they do. And your life, just your life, will bring condemnation because of the warfare between the two natures. And they don't know why you agitating them, but your spirit agitates them. They don't know why. Oh, you, cause why? You bring a condemnation just being in the room and you ain't saying nothing. You just living a life. But see, that spirit that's in the world don't want to be around you. The spirit that's in the world, it is adverse towards you. And so it causes that people to act out because the devil begins to speak to their mind. And try to tell you, oh, you're a hater now, you know, cause you don't go along with homosexuality. You're a hater. Oh, of course you be saying that, listen, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, according to the word, God's going to judge. That's what the Bible said. You need to be married if you're going to have sexual relationship. Marriage is the only time that is sanctioned. People do it every day. I mean, they're going to hell for it, but they need to repent before they do. You understand? You know, I was reading today over in 2 Kings chapter 11, where David saw Bathsheba on the rooftop. He was supposed to have been out at war. But because he decided he gonna kick back, y'all going out and fight, I'm gonna hang out today. And went up on walking on the roof, he saw Sheba taking a bath. Yeah, Bathsheba. She was taking a bath up there. And he said she was very beautiful to look upon. There's some eye gates, ear gates. There's some things that we allow the world to enter in to change our mind, to get us to turn away from God. And so we have to protect the anointing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. We get puffed up in our minds. And the devil comes to mess with our senses. I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't understand why I can't do this. You know, and so it messes with your senses so you don't see, you don't know, and you don't understand. Because it's something that's against what you're doing. Because it's currently against your current will. You know, the Bible said we have to yield our will unto God. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was there praying? He said, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, let not my will, but let your will be done. You and I, we have to learn to die to ourselves daily if we're going to live for God. And dying to yourself daily means also there's a daily resurrection of that old man, that old inclination. He's there. And see, if you keep feeding him, he's going to get stronger and stronger. But as you deny him, he gets weaker and weaker, and your spirit man gets stronger and stronger. But if you keep on yielding to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, then you'll find yourself dominated by the enemy. Because the Bible says, whosoever you submit yourself to, that you become the servant of. Rather unto sin, unto condemnation, or rather you yield unto God, unto righteousness, whoever you yield yourself to, or whatever you yield yourself to, that thing has dominance over you. If a man is going out and he's having an affair and he thinks, don't nobody know, well, that woman he cheating with or that man these days, you don't know who they mess with these days, has dominion over them because now it's the fear of what? Exposure. The fear of somebody going to find out. What happened in the garden when man sinned against God? What did Adam and Eve do when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day? What did they do? You remember? They hid themselves. They sewed aprons together to hide their nakedness. And the Bible said, Adam said, he was afraid because we were naked. We hid ourselves. He said, who told you you were naked? Understand the statement, now what he's making. He said, where did you get the information from? Who you been listening to? Well, it's the same thing when we're trying to protect the anointing of God. Who are you listening to? Where are you getting your information from? What are you declaring to be more important than what the Father has said unto you? And that's the problem. A lot of times we listen to the experts. We listen to the doctor. We listen to the politician. We listen to the news people. We listen to the weather people. We listen to what they say. And how many people know that every time you look around, we're talking about what they say? Well, you know, they said a new disease is about to come out. Well, you know, they said the economy is going down bad. Well, you know, they said we're about to go to war. Well, you know, they said. And see, anytime, and I'll say this, and God put this in my spirit, but anytime you make what they said more important than what God has said, you have turned they into your God. They now become the one who controls your life, not God. But when the Bible said, let God be true and let what? Every man be a liar. So it says here, having your understanding, because see, you're walking in the vanity of your mind, verse 18 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, when you start getting the wrong information, it blinds you. Because the Bible said that the entrance of God's word brings light. But when you start getting the information that's coming from the world, that's darkness creeping into your soul. All of a sudden, now your whole attitude and your whole opinion changes. You have people defending things that you know God doesn't agree with. And as a believer in Christ, we do not have a right to have our own opinion. Understand what I'm saying? Whatever God agrees with, we agree with. Whatever God disagrees with, we disagree with. We don't argue and call God unjust or unfair because of something that we don't agree with because everybody's doing it. Women commit abortions. Advocates say that's their body and he got a right to do what they want to do. That's their body. You got men say, I feel like a woman. So they go have an operation, become transgender. This body is not yours. This body belongs to God. And because everybody's doing it, if you say anything about it, all of a sudden now you homophobic or you're a hater or you're trying to oppress women. No, we're not. It's about the sanctity of life. Everybody that's in this room is here because your mother birthed you. See, everybody that's born, you got to understand, everybody that's born is a candidate for eternal life. Why do you think the enemy tried to snuff you out before you get here? Why do you think that they went over in Egypt? They tried to kill Moses before he was born because they heard that God was raising up a prophet. And so they wanted to kill Moses. How do you think they wanted to kill Jesus? Because he said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? So he went out and wiped out every kid 2 years of age and under from the time that they saw the wise man. But when the star was in there, they said, we're going to get all of them. Rachel weeping for her children, a bloodbath, trying to destroy the Messiah. There's a warfare. And you're in the warfare. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know what happens when you start turning from God and you turn toward the world? You don't see nothing wrong with nothing. Covetousness will fill your heart. Evilness, undermining, strategizing how to defeat or pull down somebody, bringing their demise, lying on your job about somebody, false witnesses, trying to intentionally get people to stumble and fall because now their heart has been darkened. He said, but ye, those of you who have already been saved, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, he tell you what you need to do. You need to put off concerning the old former conversation of the old man, concerning the former conversation or the former lifestyle, as well as the former speech. When you got saved, not only did your behavior change, but your whole language changed. You weren't backbiting no more. You weren't gossiping no more. You ain't going around spreading lies on people no more. Your whole language changed. You stood for the truth, even if the truth wasn't favorable for you. You still had to tell the truth. It's better to tell the truth and suffer the consequences of what you did than to try to lie about what you did. Later you found out that now your integrity is down the tube. You won't believe that, you got to say. And the devil will make sure that you be found out because he wants to embarrass you. We got a lot of stuff going on today in the world. Everybody's trying to cover up Epstein files. They're trying to cover up what happened at P. Diddy's ranch. They're trying to cover up. There's a lot of stuff going on. They're trying to cover up. But that stuff keeps rising to the top. Keeps rising to the top. Keep on trying to embarrass people. Keep on trying to defame people. Trying to get people put out of the office. And I heard an audio cut of Trump. He didn't know the mic was still on. He said he ain't releasing the Epstein files and whatever somebody green, what's her name? Something, one of the congresswomen? Talking about F what she say. If I gotta start a war, we're not gonna release this. And if I go down, y'all going down with me. I don't know who he was talking to. But there's a whole lot of people on that list. People are doing anything to cover up to keep from being exposed. He said, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed. Somebody say renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have the mind of Christ. But the Bible says you got to let this mind be in you. In other words, it's not going to be just an easy transformation because the enemy is fighting a war against your mind. The warfare is in your mind. This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations. You know the devil can give you some imagination. You could be sitting there on the couch and be way over in Hawaii somewhere. Somebody could do something to you and you can't think about nothing else but how you're going to get back at that person. You said that the devil ran you a whole video in Technicolor, 3D. And you sitting there, yeah, and you sitting right there on the couch. You ain't left the living room, but you already plotted the whole thing. Do you know murder is premeditated? What's the word premeditate mean? You done already seen it. You done already put it together. You done planned this thing out. You saw every step. You knew how you was going to get in. You plotted your entrance, your exit, everything. Premeditated. You can't accidentally commit fornication. You can't walk down the street and say, whoops, I failed. No, it don't work like that. Everything is plotted and planned out. And if not intentional when you're on the onset, when the enemy tempts you, you have to yield to that temptation or deny it. And that's when the warfare comes in. That's when the choices have to be made. This is when the mind of Christ has got to kick in. Even when ain't nobody looking, somebody see you. God sees and knows all things. And if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you can't allow this thing to happen, because the Bible, and we're going to get to this in a minute, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is inside of you, which you've been sealed until the day of redemption. It says, wherefore, put away lying. It says, and put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and in true holiness. So when you get the mind of Christ, when your mind is renewed, now you're walking after the things that are pertaining to the things of the kingdom of God. He said, wherefore put away. Somebody say, put away. Because see, the enemy still tried to get you to use. You know what fear, you know what lying is? It's a reaction because of fear. People lie either because they're afraid, or they lie to try to make themselves look better than what they currently do. But they don't. That lie don't make you look better. He said, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. He said, be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. There's some things that's going to make you mad. You know, you're still in this body. But forgive quickly. Repent quickly. If it's man and wife, don't go to bed turning one back turn this way, one back turn that way. We ain't speaking. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? Because the enemy gets right in the middle of that. And while you turn this way, the enemy's talking in her head and the enemy's talking in your head. Ain't neither one of y'all really saying these things, but you're thinking these things. And now you start getting wicked imaginations, and things are worse now in your mind than what they really are. Because of what you done built. Because see, these thoughts turn into strongholds. People get divorced and don't know why they got divorced after it's over. Well, we just couldn't talk. We just grew apart. Those are not answers. We just grew apart. No, y'all didn't communicate. Nobody wanted to yield. Nobody used love as a tactic. Everybody wanted to get even. Get the ups on somebody. Everybody want to point out your deficiencies instead of encouraging you. Everybody will tell you what's wrong. I heard some people, one lady say, I might forgive, but I never forget. As soon as the argument come back up, you remember when? You ain't forgave nothing. And you get a whole list of your deficiencies and what's wrong with you. That goes from both sides, because see, when you're not trying to love one another, now all of a sudden, now you got to find something wrong with each other. And that same thing on the job. You being pressured on your job is because they're trying to find something wrong with you. But you didn't cross the T on that letter there. You didn't dot your I over here. You know, they'll do whatever it is because they got a plan. And the enemy is trying to do what? Get in your head. I tell everybody, the enemy may get in your face, but don't let him get in your head. Because now you can't even concentrate. My wife, they got something at job, they call it and say, what they say, y'all be coached when they get somewhere. And now, after you've been coached, you walking around in the fog, because really your mind is on what they just got through saying, and you know it wasn't right and wasn't true, but they putting it on you anyway, and now your mind is thinking, you know, and you got your whole head occupied about that. because of information that's coming in from the wrong source. You got to be careful of what you hear and how you hear what you hear, and be knowing where is the enemy. Remember we talked about last week about frequencies, about understanding the different frequency of the voice. We talked about how Peter, in one breath, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and how God, Jesus told him, he said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that, but my Father, which is in heaven." I'm sure Peter felt good. And then Jesus continued to talk about the crucifixion and the suffering. And the Bible said, and Peter began to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus turned around and looked at Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He didn't say, "Get thee behind me, Peter." He understood the frequency. He knew the voice. It's just like when we talked about last week, when Job's wife, after Satan had told God, "The only reason why Job is serving you is because you blessed him and put a hedge about him. Let me touch his body. Let me touch his stuff." He said, "Everything, but don't take his life." He said, "I'll get him to cuss you to your face." He tried everything. Job held on his integrity. But what was the last big gun that he chose to use to get Job to yield? His wife. Because remember, she lost just as much as Job did. And she said, "Job, you still holding on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" See, the enemy's trying to get you to yield. Remember when Jesus was in, just got baptized from the River Jordan? Remember that? And the Bible said that the Spirit drove him out in the wilderness and he was tempted. He was out there 40 days and he was tempted of the devil afterwards, right? And the devil came unto him. And what was the first thing that the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness? He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Every time we focus on the bread, but it's not focusing on the bread. It was focused on if he knew who he was or not. And if you don't know who you are, you'll fall for anything. But if you know who you are, then you ain't going to yield to that mess. It ain't about making bread out of stones. Satan was just trying to get him to obey him. Because whoever you obey, that you become the servant of. Jesus said, listen, if he set the guidelines, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And because he knew he was God manifested in the flesh, virtually what he was telling Satan, ain't nothing you say gonna work, only what I say. And because you are a blood-washed, spirit-filled son or daughter of God, and you're speaking the word of God, nothing that the devil say against you is going to work. What did the Bible say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that is risen up against you in judgment you shall condemn. Why? Because this is your heritage, and your righteousness is of God. And once you know that, you can counteract every lie that the devil ever told with the word of God.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Just a tiny nowhere town with a tiny no room in. This is where the greatest story ever told begins. Where just a tiny beating heart had all creation leaning in. That night the world forever changed because of Bethlehem. It's where a star led to a stable, a baby's cry made angels sing, and the search to find a savior led to heaven's humble king. Where the wise men found the answer, the shepherds found the lamb, and I found my Emmanuel because of Bethlehem.